Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Let's read together in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 7. And as we read these words, I want you to think about what's said in verse number 5. So we're going to do it odd this morning. We're going to start reading with number 5, then go to number 1 and read down through number 7. Is that against anyone's religion? You're okay with that? All right, here we go. Verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Let's begin reading in number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, we see here from Paul's writing to Timothy that mothers are very important. Mothers, grandmothers. It may be an aunt for you. I don't know who the mother figure was in your life. If you were like me and you're a big fan of the Andy Griffith Show, Ernest T. Bass had a mother figure, right? I know it's supposed to say figure, but he didn't call her that. He called her a figure. And she was his mother figure. And he tried to tote her groceries. And he tried to do anything good, all because she slapped him on the hand for acting up in class when he had a good reason to. He caught me, Miss Terry, there. He slapped her own hand. If I want Miss Terry to hit herself, Brother Ken, you can pay me for that. If I hit me, she has to hit her, and then we're in business here. I like this. Get Miss Sinead to interpret some Sundays. Notice I said that as she left. All right, let me leave off Ernest T. Bass and get back to things. But whoever that person was in your life, you saw them as a mother. I don't know who it may be. You may have had more than one person that you saw as a mother, and we appreciate those of you who play those roles in our lives, because mothers are important. And that's what I want to talk to you about here today. Mothers are important. George Cooper wrote it this way: hundreds of dewdrops to greet the dawn, hundreds of bees in the purple clover, hundreds of butterflies on the lawn, but only one mother the wide world over. Isn't that pretty? Really enjoyed that. I want to speak to you today from our text about just how important mothers are. And you know, as a man, I'm bound to do a poor job with that, because us men, we have trouble understanding ladies, don't we? Amen, men? Hey. Yeah, that's right. You got yourself off from not getting her a gift yet, right? You said, I want to give it to you till after lunch. Is that what you told her this morning? Lady, if you heard that, he's lying. He ain't got you anything yet. That's right. Absolutely. We men, we struggle with understanding women. In fact, a guy was walking along a beach and he stumbled across an old lamp. He picked it up and he rubbed it and out popped a genie. We all hope for that to happen, don't we? That's why you play the lottery. The genie said, "Listen, four people have released me from the lamp this month and I'm getting a little sick of these wishes. So you can forget about three. You only get one wish." That's a bum deal, isn't it? I mean, Aladdin's got to give us three wishes. That's how it works. The man thought about it for a while, and he said, "I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid to fly, and I get very seasick. Could you build me a bridge to Hawaii so I can drive over there to vacation?" The genie laughed, and he said, "That's impossible. Think of the logistics of that great feat. How could the supports ever reach the bottom of the ocean? You need to think of another wish." The man thought about it, and he said, "Well, I've been dating for years, and the women I date always say that I don't care and that I'm insensitive." Amen, ladies? "So I wish that I could fully understand women, to know exactly how they feel and know exactly what they are thinking." The genie paused for a minute and then he said, "Would you like that bridge with two lanes or four lanes?" So nonetheless, I'm going to do my best today to talk about how important mothers are, but only from a man's perspective. And one of you ladies can tell me after church how I could have done it a lot better, all right? Paul writes here in verse number 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, the importance of Timothy's mother and grandmother in his life. And before I get to my sermon, I'll just quickly remind you that the important thing was that the faith that the grandmother had, she passed down to the mother. The faith that the mother had passed down to the son. And the son is someone that we have here in the Bible that helped start the church that you and I benefit from so much today. I say to you that to you to say today, your mother's a believer, your father's a believer, the person that you look up to in life is a believer and you're not, it's time to give in and accept Jesus as your Savior. Confess your sin to Him and accept His free gift of salvation. Be baptized and get to work doing God's purpose for your life. That's really the gist of the sermon here. But I can't, it's hard to just give that and dismiss and go to lunch, right? Except you all don't want to stand in line, so you wished I would hurry up and dismiss so you could get on to lunch. But that's what Paul is saying here. We're going to get look into these other verses, though, and see how important mothers are. So let's begin with verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And I'd begin by saying that mothers are important because mothers share the promise of life. Now, we're reading these words here that Paul wrote. Paul was a real person. He's proven that we have record of Paul being a real man in the Bible, and we have record of Paul being a real man outside of the Bible. Historically, there was a man named Paul who wrote the book that we're reading here this morning. Not the Bible, the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul wrote this. We know that he did. He was a real person. From this verse, we learn that Paul considered himself an apostle of another real historical person, a man named Jesus Christ. No matter what you believe, you can't argue with history that there was a man named Paul and that he was an apostle of a man named Jesus Christ. Everybody good so far? Right? Okay. I mean, you believe in Napoleon, right? We even believe in things that aren't true, like Greek gods and all this stuff. That was just foolishness. It was made up. It wasn't even real. But it was real to those people who believed at that time. And we have an easier time believing that than we do the Word of God, which is a historical written record that you can prove in other sources outside of the Word of God. You have to excuse me. I preach from a soapbox. Look at my soapbox here. I just can't help myself sometimes. So we've got Paul here. He's an apostle of Jesus. He says, this is God's will for my life. And he says, this all came to be because of the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Well, what does that mean, the promise of life? If you were to ask Paul what that means, he would say, well, I'll tell you a story about one day I was on the road to Damascus. And a great light came down from heaven and a voice spoke to me and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the Holy Spirit of God arrested his soul. Saul begged forgiveness of his sins. He was converted that day and he became a Christian and entered ministry serving God. Now, God doesn't expect us all to enter ministry, but God does expect us all to repent of our sins and become a believer. And that is the promise of life. Paul is serving God because he accepted Jesus as his Savior. Do you remember when you received the promise of life? It was a good day, wasn't it? What a wonderful day. Timothy has this life. Paul commends him for it because his mother and grandmother introduced him to it. That's why mothers are important, because mothers share the promise of life. Just we read that happened for Timothy here from his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. He's not saved because of them. That would be nice. My dad was a preacher. My dad was a Sunday school teacher. My dad led the choir. I was a good kid because of all the things my dad did. My mom taught Sunday school. They worked with young people. They drove the church van. I'm looking better all the time, aren't I? But when I get to heaven someday, he's not going to say, well, we don't have you on the list here, but yeah, he's Danny's son. Let him in. That's Peggy's boy. Let him in. No. He's going to say, Chance Strickland. Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah. You prayed for forgiveness of sins on March the 9th, 1994. Amen. You're saved, and you can come in. That's how it works. Right. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what Jesus did for me. Amen. Timothy's not saved because of his grandmother and his mother. They didn't save him. But because of their influence on his life, he was saved as a result of them. And that's important. Did anybody here have a mother who led you to Christ? Anybody? Your mother prayed with you and led you to Jesus. A lot of us. It's funny how that is. Or even a mother figure, maybe a lady who taught you Sunday school. She shared to you a whole story of the Bible before you got out of her class in your childhood. And you knew David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den and Jesus on the cross and Jesus in his resurrection. And you knew all of those stories. And before long, the Word of God arrested your heart and you wanted to be saved. Someone shared the promise of life with you. Your mom may not have personally prayed with you for salvation, but I bet many of us had a mother or a grandmother who insisted that we attend church. Anybody had that person? You weren't too sick to go to church, were you? Mom, my belly hurts. I want to go today. Well, your belly didn't hurt too bad to play baseball last night, so you're going. Moms are good at wording things a certain way, aren't they? What that led to for many of us, and I know for me, Mom and Dad's insistence that I attend church allowed me to center the preaching of the Word of God enough that one day it got a hold of my heart and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Mothers are important because they share the promise of life. The second thing we see this morning is from verse number 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now, Paul considered Timothy his dearly beloved son. Now, Paul's talking in a spiritual sense here. From early in his conversion, Paul has discipled Timothy. Paul feels as if he has raised Timothy up as a son, not in a physical sense, you know, not because I bought his jeans for school, but in a spiritual sense in that I helped him along the way with the things of the Bible and the church and prayer and those types of things. So he saw him somewhat as a son. Paul sees Timothy as his son and writes with the emotion of a parent. That puts me in mind of parents and children. The second thing I would say to you here this morning is that mothers are important because mothers have children. That's important, right? Let me try that again. You would all not exist. Think about what I'm saying here. Mothers are important because mothers have children, right? Yeah. They say when you're preaching, if you're having to fish for the amens, you should change your bait. But that's good bait. I'm just going to be honest. I will change my bait sometimes, but we would not be here if it weren't for our mothers. I don't care what you think about anybody, you would not be a person. You say, well, my mother was mean, or my mother was a drunk, or my mother this or this or this. Still your mother. You wouldn't exist without her. Or it might be that person who just raised you as a mother. And that's even more special, isn't it? They didn't even have the emotional bond and still chose you and decided to give to you as a child. What a wonderful thing that is. But everybody loves babies. Don't you love babies? I was hoping Tom would make it to this part of the sermon. Not Brother Tom. Brother Tom's still awake. He's still going. Don't anybody think Brother Tom's sleeping on me here. You might need to speak up right there, Brother Tom. I don't know if they believe me. Well, I was hoping Thomas would make it, and then I could hold him up and say, see, don't everybody love babies? And he'd probably have bananas in his hair and snot running down his nose. But nobody cares, right? It's a baby. And they can make noise during preaching, and they can come to your house and pull your favorite glass fixtures off your shelf and break them. And I know under your breath you're saying, oh, these people need to get their kids. But you lie and you grin and you say, oh, I didn't even like that anyway. Because everybody loves babies. There's just something about a baby being around. Mothers are important because they have children. Thank God for mothers who give the world babies. The third thing comes from verse number 3. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. Mothers help us with a pure conscience, and they're important because of that. Now, I'm not going to try to wrap what Paul is saying here. It's a firm theological truth that we get into here. I'm not going to try to wrap that into an application about mom. I'd misuse Scripture to do that. I'm borderlining misusing Scripture anyway, but it's Mother's Day, and you just have to do that as a preacher. So if you're here today to judge me on how well I'm expositing Scripture, I'm sorry. But I love my mama, right? Notice I didn't say my mother or my mom. I like my mama. That's just who she's always been to me, is my mama. But I do want to talk about a pure conscience. Paul talked about that, and he did talk about it as from his forefathers. And there's just something about our parents, especially our mothers, that help us live life with a pure conscience, especially as a child. Did your mom turn off the TV or the movie when there was too much foul language? Ours was 3. The mom heard that third dirty word, then boom, it went off. We didn't even have to ask. It didn't matter where the remote was. Just all of a sudden in a flash, bam, the TV went off. I mean, it was just like, Mama, no, and then there it goes. We're right to the climax of the movie. We don't know if he lives or dies. Well, he said stupid one too many times, whack, and off the TV goes. Now, I'm not talking about cuss words even. I'm talking about dirty words, you know. I shared one of those with you all on Wednesday night. If you're here on Wednesday night, we talked about one of those words. I ain't going to tell you what it is, because if you didn't come on Wednesday night, you don't get to know. I'm just kidding. Y'all know our policy here. We don't take attendance, right? Did somebody get a count this morning? I'm just kidding. Mama helped us keep a pure conscience as a child, turning the TV off, turning the movies off. We would have watched them. We wouldn't have cared how dirty they were, how bad they were, because we're tough. We'd woke up in the middle of the night crying because we're having nightmares about them. Now, I'm not talking about you at your age now. I'm talking about when you're a little guy. Y'all remember? You remember when you're a little guy and you thought there were a monster in your closet? Am I the only one who thought there was a monster in his closet? Okay, me and one guy in the back. Oh, well, under the bed. Right, yes, absolutely. Mama helped us with that. Mama helped us with a pure conscience by convincing us that she always knows and always sees and knows. Did you believe that is about your mom when you were a child? Boy, young people in here this morning, mom really does. Don't listen to the preacher. He doesn't know. My mama said, a little bird told me. I was amazed at that. My mom knows how to talk to birds. That's pretty cool right there. I don't know how the birds know what I'm doing to be able to tell my mom, but apparently they did. Me and my buddy shot the windows out of a man's shed one time with our BB guns, and Dad set us down and said, boys, I guess that's how Dad talked when I was a kid, boys, did you boys shoot the windows out of this man? Said, no. What BBs? We didn't have any guns. We saw some other guys, some big tall guys throwing rocks. That's what happened. Mom said, no, a little bird told me, we know. I had to take my allowance money from mowing yards and pay for that man's windows we shot out of his shed with our BB guns. Mom already knew. She helped us keep a pure conscience. What an important role our mothers played in our lives, protecting us. We thought then Mom was just being tough and rough, but if you think back on it now, Mom was keeping you from some of the dirt and grime and filth of this world. You're who you are today. And not that wacko on TV who kept those people hostage for all that time. Y'all seen that this week? What a mess. What's the matter with that guy? I just do away with him. I don't even want to look at him anymore. You're not that way because mother kept you from some of the mess that would have warped your mind. Mom kept you a pure conscience. Abraham Lincoln said it this way. He said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. That's good, isn't it? The fourth thing we see is from verse number 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now, Paul's writing that from his own words there, but we know that mothers are that way too. Mothers are filled with joy. Even at the worst of time, mom always seems to know how to brighten the day. Remember when your boyfriend or girlfriend broke up with you that first time? First time it was real serious, you know? Mom just knew what to say. Mom seemed to care. Paul writes like a mother here almost. He says, I'm greatly desiring to see thee. I'm mindful of thy tears. That sounds more from the feminine approach than the masculine approach. And so we must say Paul must have had a really good mother because we know about dads. And dads, I'll be mean to you today. And in June, I'll be nice to y'all. Is that okay? Is that a good deal? We'll have Father's Day and I'll be real nice to you in Father's Day. But dads aren't greatly desiring to see thee. Dads are happy that you got to see them, right? Isn't that how we are as dads? Glad you got to see me today. Thanks for coming by. You should come more often. And I'm glad you're not asking for money anymore. Maybe you start bringing some money when you come. That would be great for all things I paid for in your life. Moms are mindful of our tears. Dads are wondering what could ever be so bad that we're crying about it. Right? Amen, dads? Amen, moms? Paul must have had a good mother. He was greatly desiring to see Timothy. He was mindful of his tears. And we read here that Timothy certainly had a good mother. His mother and his grandmother, no doubt, were filled with joy that he was walking with Jesus as he did. Mothers are filled with joy. And then the last thing, probably the most important thing of what we read here, is in verse number 5, mothers show unfeigned faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. We, a lot of times, take credit for our own lives. We should, especially the bad. But many times, the good in our life is a direct result of Mama's prayers. Isn't that right? Mom sat around, and those nights when we knew right where we were and right where we were going and right when we were going to be home, and Mom didn't know. And when we got home, she threatened to kill us. But before you got home, before you saw the look on Mama's face that was anger, Mom was praying, saying, Lord, watch my baby. Right? Mom's unfeigned faith Mothers show sincere faith. Paul commends Timothy for his own sincere faith. Then he commends Timothy for his mother's and grandmother's faith, who had it first. He said, Timothy, I'm thankful for the sincere faith that I see in you. From Paul's perspective, this was profitable to the ministry. It's profitable to the work of God. But he almost as if he reminds Timothy, or as he points it out to us, or he gives credit where credit is due, maybe all of that. He says to Timothy, I'm glad you have it, but I'm more glad that your grandmother had it and your mother had it first, because it's poured over into you. You read in Romans, I believe it's in chapter 12, verse 1. I could be wrong about that. We get a record about Paul and then about Timothy there. And we read about his mother or his grandmother first. She was a Jew converted to a Christian. And then his mother was a Jew converted to a Christian. And at the end of that verse there, it throws it in his dad, who was just a Greek. Now, being Greek, there's nothing wrong with that. But what that means in the Bible was your dad wasn't a believer. So Timothy grew up in one of those homes where mom, grandma took you to church and dad stayed home. Dad wasn't a believer. Paul's very thankful for the mother's sincere faith and the grandmother's sincere faith as it made Timothy into the man that he was. Mothers are important because they show us sincere faith. Some of the worst sinners in the world, when they repent, they immediately run to or they call who? Mom. Hey, Mom, you won't ever believe this. I got saved. How many of you that was your first call, your first letter you wrote, the first visit you made? I've heard that in some of your own testimonies. You said, yeah, I couldn't wait to call my mom. We sing that old hymn, Tell Mother I'll Be There, in answer to her prayers. Oh, tell my darling mother I'll be there. That son who went away, or that daughter maybe who went away while mother was still alive, and then mother died before they ever came back to the Lord. And said, now that I've come to Jesus, let my mother know that I'll meet her there in heaven. Mothers are very important because of their sincere faith. When Robert Ingersoll, the notorious skeptic, was in his heyday, two college students went to hear him lecture. As they walked down the street after the lecture, one said to the other, well, I guess he knocked the props out from under Christianity, didn't he? The other said, no, I don't think he did. He didn't explain my mother's life, and until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God. That's good, isn't it? Glory to God for you mothers and your sincere faith. Praise the Lord for all the faithful women that are here today. Mothers, grandmothers, wives, daughters, aunts, sisters, any other title that you take, Nana, Mimi, you know, whatever those titles are that you grab for yourself. Anybody need to throw theirs out there that I'm leaving out? Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being that rock in many, many homes, that anchor to keep us where we are as Christians. I'll be honest with you, if we'd be honest, we'd rather be fishing or golfing or somewhere else. But because of Mother, we're in church on Sunday mornings at 11. We know that's where we're supposed to be and what we ought to be doing. Even after Mom's dead and gone, in memory of her, we know. We have it in our minds she's up in heaven watching and might just thump us if we don't go to church. Amen. Mothers are important. The world would not be the same without mothers. Like Paul, Mom, we recognize your spiritual heritage. We recognize the children that you have raised in the Lord. I want you to know this morning, all of you ladies, that this church is behind you, and today we are happy to praise the Lord for you. Moms are important. Children, that's everybody here, right? You're all somebody's child. Your mother's important. Recognize that. You hadn't hugged and kissed Mom today and said, I love you. You should go hug and kiss Mom and say, I love you. Amen. There was something more pressing this morning when I first saw my mother, but I made it wait. And I hugged my mama. And I said, I love you, Mama. Did I say I love you? Okay, just making sure. I'm pretty sure I did. Our pastor, my childhood pastor, their pastor matured them as adults, passed away this morning, and she needed to tell me that, and we needed to talk about that, but it could wait, because today's Mother's Day, and I wanted to say, I love you, Mom. There's nothing you can do today more important than looking your mom in the eyes and saying thank you. Amen. And say, I love you. Those of you who are here today who Mother's gone, you could look around at the rest of us and say, you better. Don't wait till she's dead to shower her with flowers. Tell her now. We call off our services on Sunday nights, on Mother's Day. If we ever quit calling off Sunday night services, we'll never quit calling off at least the Mother's Day service so you can go be with Mom. And do that today. The golf game await, the fishing await, the NASCAR race await, whatever it is else that you're doing will wait while you spend a day with Mom. I've played golf on Mother's Day one time in my life, and I'll never do that again. You like how your mother cooks? It really affects how much you get to eat when you're hurrying off to go play golf. I'll just tell you that. Or fish or whatever it is that you do. Don't overlook this day. Don't allow the society to tell you that what you're doing is too cliche. That's become a popular term, isn't it? Oh, I don't even want to think about Mother's Day. We do that every year, and it's just the normal thing to do, and blah, 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 blah. We've all become a bunch of cynics if we think that way. Tell your mother how important she is. Husbands, tell your wife how important she is as the mother in your home, because I promise you, it wouldn't be as good without her there. I promise you that. And on Father's Day, I'll tell you it won't be as good without you there too, but it's her day today. I hope you made her breakfast this morning, maybe ironed your own clothes, and if you already do that. I hope you plan on her not cooking you lunch today and you taking care of that or washing the dishes. What else, ladies? What else y'all want me to tell them? Take care of Mom today. Now, you can take care of Mom every day if you want to, but especially today. So we're going to have some guys waiting, big, strong guys at the back door. Any mother who tells us you've done them wrong, we're going to beat you up as you leave the church today, right? No, not really. We're going to have some guys at the back door to give all you mothers. We have roses, and we have a lot of different colors, and we want you, not just mothers, we want all you ladies to take a flight. There are plenty. I promise you there are plenty. And then also we have, from the Courtneys, they brought us some potted flowers. So you can take them home and plant them, and they'll keep growing all year round, I guess, or whenever they keep growing, I don't know. But what the others are cut, and they're going to die in a couple of days, so these are actually more cheerful. But we have those for you today to say thank you for being who it is that you are. Let me finish with reading you the rest of Proverbs 31. We read the first part of it this morning in our responsive reading, and I want to read the rest to you right now. Talking about this virtuous woman. Her husband is known in the gates. Y'all heard that story about President Bush Sr. talking about her husband being known in the gates? What was his wife's name? Barbara. Barbara. So President Bush and Barbara were in the limo, and they were off somewhere in tuxedo and formal wear, back road somewhere, and they had to stop in for gas at a little old gas station out. They were in Texas, and was where she was from. And so the gentleman who was running the station there, he kind of come out and was gazing over this limousine, seeing what was going on, and Barbara realized she knew him. And that was her high school sweetheart that she didn't marry, and she married this guy who became president. Have y'all heard this story? Really good story. So she says, she gets out of the car, and she talks to him, and, you know, they catch up or whatever, and she gets back in the car, and George says, well, could have married him, but you married the guy who became the most important man in the world. Right? That's good. And then she said, no, I could have married either of you. And if I'd have married him, he'd have become president. Woo! And she has Bible to back her there. Proverbs 31, verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. Behind every successful man is his wife. And his mother. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.